Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
All right, so can eating breakfast reduce your risk of diabetes? Well, we can now add, based on some studies, a lower risk of diabetes to the growing list of health benefits from eating breakfast. Sounds pretty good, right? We know that this is important. You know, breakfast comes from breaking the fast. You've been sleeping for, what, hopefully 7 to 9 hours? I know a lot of people are not getting that many hours of sleep, but we really should try. So you wake up and you need this fresh influx of calories. That's breaking the fast. And when you do that, you're going to improve youthful metabolism. You're going to have less body fat, which is something I think all of us would like, or at least most of us. And it improves your energy throughout the day. Those are known benefits of breakfast. But now we can add something else. We can add a lower list of the development or the risk of developing diabetes. And when you consider, I mean, how many times have we discussed on Healthy Talk the dangers of excess sugar in our country today? It's all over the place. You know, the processed sugars, the processed fructose, it's everywhere. When you consider that it's an epidemic, diabetes, metabolic disease, this is really good news when it's something as simple as eating right when you get up. And I wonder how many of you really do that. And I'll be the first one to admit I don't always have the time to do that. But I think I need to start making that change. And if I'm going to preach this and teach this, I definitely need to do this better in my own life. Maybe I have to get up a little earlier. Maybe that's all it simply is. That can be tough, but maybe it's worth it when you look at all the benefits. So this was an 18-year population study that included more than 5,000 men and women. So nice, long study, decent amount of subjects. None of the participants had type 2 diabetes when they entered the study. And throughout the study, they completed these questionnaires, these diet questionnaires. And they, you know, I have an example of one of the questions. It was really straightforward. How many times a week do you eat breakfast? And they would tally those surveys up. And the results showed that people who reported eating breakfast every day were 34% less likely to develop type 2 diabetes, 43% less likely to become obese, and 40% less likely to develop belly fat. So that all sounds pretty good, and that was eating breakfast every day. The study also looked at results for those who said they ate breakfast 4 to 6 times a week, so that's more days than not, which is good. They were 24% less likely to develop type 2 diabetes and 25% less likely to become obese. This was presented at the 72nd Scientific Sessions of the American Diabetes Association in a poster. Interesting, the researchers didn't find that the food itself played a role. It was really just getting up and breaking that fast, probably beyond a nutrition bar, which I don't find them too nutritious anyway. So probably around, say, 300 to 350 calories is probably the right amount to truly break the fast and, you know, get some of those benefits from doing this. But I do want to talk a little bit about what we should be eating at breakfast. I don't think this means that we can just eat anything we want. We still have to be careful about the foods that we're putting into our bodies, right? I think everybody would agree with that. But breakfast is one of those things where when a doctor tells you to break the fast, make sure you do that, we tend to reach for easy things in the morning, right? We're rushing, we're trying to get the kids off, we're trying to get to work. So, you know, that nutrition bar, and I use that word nutrition lightly, whatever it is, those ready-made foods become really easy, and you say to yourself, hey, I'm breaking the fast, but I think there's a better way to do it. So let's talk about how we should be eating, what we should be eating when we do break the fast. And I want to talk about the difference between glycemic index and glycemic load, because it turns out in the morning we tend to eat a lot of sugar. That's been a dietary change that happened in the 50s and 60s with the introduction of all those sugary cereals. When I was growing up, I mean, the average cereal was like getting 3 or 4 teaspoons of raw sugar, and I think sometimes we even added sugar to it. I remember doing that on occasion, and of course we had Cinnamon Toast with sugar on it. So we were getting a lot of high glycemic foods in the morning. We don't want to do that. So glycemic index is the sugar content of the food, but I don't think that that is as informational as we need it to be. What's a better measure of how much sugar you're really getting into your system in the morning is something called glycemic load. That's where you take the glycemic index and you multiply it by the number of grams per serving you're eating and you divide it by 100. And a healthy daily glycemic load is around 80. So breakfast should be, say, around 15 to 20. Now, let me give you an example. Let's compare a banana, which I know a lot of people eat in the morning, versus a watermelon. Now, the glycemic index of the watermelon is 72, has a lot of sugar. The glycemic index of the banana is 55. So you think, wow, the banana is the better bet. But when you do that equation, when you take that glycemic index, multiply it by the grams per serving, divide it by 100, the glycemic load of the banana is 20. Whereas the glycemic index, let me say that again. The glycemic load of the banana is 20. The glycemic load of the watermelon is only 7. So you can see that the watermelon, even though it has a higher glycemic index, is a better bet in the morning than, say, the banana. So keep that in mind. So let's compare. Let's do this. There's a little quiz for you. Let's say we have a bagel, standard size bagel, nothing added to it. And we have a glazed donut, okay? And versus, say, a bowl of fiber cereal. Which one of those, the bagel, the glazed donut, or the fiber cereal, has the highest glycemic load? Which one do you think it is? Now, you don't have time to do the calculation, so I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. You might be surprised. The bagel has a glycemic load of 38. Now, that's still really high, right? Because the total you're going to have for the day is only 80. So you want breakfast to be a glycemic load of around 15 to 20. So already with the bagel, you're way over, but it's 38. The glazed donut, believe it or not, the glycemic load is 34. It's less than the bagel. There's less grams per serving. It's still high, but it's less than the bagel. What about that cereal? Yeah, there's a lot of people who enjoy the cereals, a lot of diabetics, pre-diabetics, who they think they're doing the right thing by going to the cereal. But when you add the milk with it and the milk sugars, you add the grains, all that kind of stuff, the glycemic load of that cereal, 57. Yeah, so the bagel's 38, the donut's 34, and the cereal is 57. So I don't know if that's the best bet. I think a good breakfast would entail more protein-based sources. You can do eggs. You can do it without the yolk or not. There's different ways to cook eggs that are healthy. Poached eggs are awesome. But I think maybe we need to focus more when we're breaking the fast on protein. Watch that glycemic load. You'd be surprised that cereal you think is healthy may actually be too much of a sugar load in the morning. Don't forget, though, too, I want to back up just for a moment. Never forget, though, that diet and exercise reign supreme here when it comes to protecting yourself from type 2 diabetes, right? I mean, we know that. So eating breakfast is not a treatment. It's not a cure, right? But it's going to help. If you're somebody who is on diabetic drugs or you're taking nutrients because you're a pre-diabetic, you know, it's just one of those things where if you add a breakfast, maybe you can get better control. So that's something I just want you to keep in mind. But it doesn't replace good diet and exercise habits. You know, we know that there's a genetic component to diabetes, but a lot of studies are showing that diet and exercise can actually prevent it. And this was actually shown best by the Diabetes Prevention Program, which was a group of researchers that looked at diet, exercise, and some other components involved with our lifestyle. And this was done in 2002 and 2003. And what they found was diet and exercise is one of the best ways to prevent diabetes. So keep that in mind. So eat some breakfast, break that fast, lower your risk of diabetes. Sounds pretty awesome. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.